Baltimore is just the latest place to explode over police handling of a suspect. It's been going on for a very long time now, and there's no shortage of ideas for ways to make the situation better. In Oregon, a handful of bills in the state legislature were set up this year to address police use of profiling, choosing people to stop or interview based on a number of factors, including skin color. The bills are supported by the group Oregon Action, from which we have two members in the studio with us. Michelle Glass is the lead organizer. Michelle, welcome to The Exchange.
Good morning. Thank you, Jeffrey.
And Ricardo Lujan's with us as well. He's a board member of Oregon Action. Welcome, Ricardo.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
Can we start first with just a basic description of what Oregon Action is and is all about?
Absolutely. Oregon Action is a broad-based social justice nonprofit. We've been around in the Valley for a little over three decades now, working on a broad range of issues with a grassroots orientation, particularly in healthcare, racial equity, and economic equity.
So you're involved in things like minimum wage and that,
absolutely.
That realm of things as well, too.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you're based both in Medford and Portland, is that right?
We are, yes.
Okay. So let's talk about racial profiling from the get-go. Just in Oregon, is this how much of an issue do you feel this has been up until this point?
So that's an interesting question. I think part of the problem and one of the things this legislation is aimed at addressing is the fact that we don't collect good data across the board in Oregon to really be able to say necessarily. And so you have a situation where law enforcement professionals have a perspective on the scope of the problem, and some community members have a different perspective. And I think that brings up, kind of the other piece that this legislation, I think, is really aimed at, which is the relationship and the level of trust between law enforcement and the community, which is, I think, from our perspective, the most important piece of this. So, without good data and accountability, it's hard to know what the problem is, how to address it, and it's hard to restore that trust as well.
That's one of the biggest things as well, is that many people don't believe that there's a problem of profiling in Oregon, but how can we really know when there's no data really being collected? I think it's very scary when people say to me that they don't think there's a problem in this state.
But without data, we don't really know if there is or isn't, is that? Is
exactly,
that fair?
Yeah. And so, for instance, there was a study conducted in 2012 after an 18-year-old was he had possession of a knife and he was shot down by Medford police. There was a study conducted to see the relationship between the Latino community and the Medford Police Department. And the results came out that they weren't really good results. It was they either were good connections or bad connections. But in my point of view, if there's not a good connection between the two communities, then it's a bad connection. So I think it's something that we definitely need to work on. My personal experience as a paralegal at an immigration, under an immigration attorney in a nonprofit law firm, we have a lot of clients that are afraid to speak up just because of the profiling problem. And it's very alarming, especially when you have a lot of crimes going on that need to be reported and that could be reported, but they're not just because of the fact of profiling.
You know, it's been probably more than 20 years since there was a pretty good television news series called Driving While Hispanic, which pointed mm-hmm. out that people do tend to get stopped a little more often, even in the Rogue Valley, when the skin is a little browner.
Most definitely.
And now, again, you say there's no data to back that up, but mm-hmm. but anecdotally, do you hear this from the Latino community?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's a worry that always happens within our community, especially in Medford. That's one area where I hear it the most. But again, how can we really know when there's not really any kind of data being collected? The way that I'm learning from it is from clients really coming in and letting us know. You know, they have a case that they want to talk to us about, and we end up telling them, how come you didn't report it? This is something that you should have reported to the police. And they're afraid. They're afraid to report. They're afraid to talk to our local law enforcement agencies. And that's a huge problem.
So, Michelle Glass, there are arrest records and things like that. I mean, what's the data that you're looking for that you don't have?
So we believe, arrests is tracked by the Medford Police, and I think part of what we're looking at is we know that profiling doesn't just happen when someone gets to the point of arrest. What profiling looks like a lot of times is just, walking down the street, driving somewhere, and just getting stopped and asked, hey, where are you going today? What are you up to? What's going on? And that's what we're hearing from a lot of folks, is it's a lot of just constant monitoring and interaction. And that's not being tracked at all. And so I think we won't be able to really address this issue until we have A, tracking that's consistent across the board. Right now, because it's optional, each jurisdiction is doing it in slightly different ways. There's no way to get a sense across the state of what's really happening and what's working well in some communities, what might need some help in other communities. And that's one issue that we've met with law enforcement professionals here in the Rogue Valley, which is something that we've been doing as part of this campaign to really say, hey, how can we work together on this? What is your perspective? How do you define profiling? Is this a problem? We're hearing some great things from some of our law enforcement leaders, and we're saying to them, that's awesome that you take this so seriously, and we want someone who lives in Jackson County and has this great experience maybe with your department. If they have to move for work to another part of the state, we want them to feel just as safe and just as protected. And how do we do that? And so I think, to me, this legislation is about consistency. It's about clarity. Right now, Oregon doesn't clearly define and ban profiling by law enforcement at the state level. That's a problem. And it's also about getting to the point where you don't have law enforcement professionals who work really hard, who do a great job for our community, but who have a very specific perspective saying there's not a problem. There's clearly not a problem. It's not something we do. And then you have community members telling immigration law paralegals and myself, I sit across the kitchen table from families as part of my work every day and hear stories, hear women who should have reported domestic violence situations, people that are afraid to drive their kids to school, people that are afraid to drive to work every day because of this at least a perception and anecdotally, yeah, definitely a problem of profiling. And so to me, it's about, this isn't a police versus community issue. Mm-hmm. This is about policemen are safer, policewomen are safer, our whole community is safer when the rules are clear, when we know what the standards are and that if we report profiling, something's going to be done about it. And when we know that because those accountability and transparency pieces are in place, we can start to restore that trust. And then everyone's safer because crimes are reported, people can call on the police when they need to, and we can have that collaborative police community relationship that keeps us all safer.
We are talking about profiling by police and efforts in the Oregon legislature to put some restrictions upon that through legislation. Michelle Glass and Ricardo Lujan are from Oregon Action. She lead organizer, he board member. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Now, does this effort, was the interest in profiling present before the incidents of Ferguson and everything that has happened since?
Absolutely. I mean, this legislation was drafted last year. It was moving well before the events that have really brought this issue to the forefront at a national level. This is something that, as communities across Oregon, we've been working on for many years.
And the state of Oregon, I guess I would put it this way, we're kind of behind the game. There's a lot of states that are already implementing their own laws. We're actually molding this bill from New Mexico legislation. So in some sense, Oregon is behind on this legislation.
I was going to ask you then if there was some legislation you can model this after, and it sounds like there is. New Mexico.
Yeah,
New Mexico. Now, is it already in place in New Mexico? Or also?
I believe it is already in place in Mexico.
When you look across the state of Oregon, Ricardo, what's the general situation, though, with profiling restrictions or not, department to department? I mean, are there some departments that do have restrictions?
Yeah, so right now that is the system that's in place. Every department, every agency is kind of they have the ability to set up their own system on, for instance, how to set up complaints, which that's one of the hugest problems. Many people don't know how to put in complaints to an agency. They don't know the process. They don't even know if they can, and they're not very well instructed in their options when it comes to submitting a complaint towards an agency. Not just that, but most of the time when you're submitting a complaint to an agency, it's towards that same agency that you're filing for. So a lot of individuals don't want to do that. So that's one of the hugest thing about the legislation as well, is that we're going to be setting up a system where people can submit anonymously their complaints to a different place that's not directly to that agency for review. And that way someone can have a clear, you know, peace of mind and be able to report any kind of profiling or complaints they might have towards an agency.
So where do the complaints go in that scenario?
So there's a working group that's going to be set up at the state level. And that's what the legislation is laying out, is basically a process for those complaints to be reviewed by an independent review board.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to be completely unattached from the agencies as well.
But I think aside from the complaints, I mean, when it comes to defining profiling, each jurisdiction can create their own definition mm-hmm. and work from that. When it comes to what the specific policies say, how it's worded about restricting profiling, that varies, and then the complaints process as well. So you have a very patchwork system. And then that's just at the policy side. Then there's the implementation side right. And oversight as well, which varies as well, as you can imagine.
We have an email for you from Amy in Ashland. She says, I was thrilled to hear your guests addressing the unreliability of police data on profiling practices. Policing the police is another first step to addressing racial profiling. How do your guests feel about the idea of community policing, and how can systems like this be established? That again from Amy in Ashland. Thank you, Amy.
Well, I think that we definitely have to hold our agencies accountable for their actions, whether they're, you know, whether they're good or bad. The community needs to be involved in every way possible. That's the only way we can really build this communication and make it strong. This bill is just kind of a bridge to build between the gap of the community and the and law enforcement agencies. I think it's very important for community members to be involved in any way possible. That way they're more up to date on what's going on. They know exactly what kind of problems the agencies are coming across and the community is coming across. So in a sense, I think, and again, we understand the hard work that police officers have to go through. So we respect that. And a lot of people might say that we're anti-police. That couldn't be farther from the truth. We actually just want to work with them. We want to be able to build that trust again, between the community and the agency. So, I agree with the point that, we need to keep a better eye in our agencies and we have to be more involved.
And you do have buy-in from police agencies, which I want to address in a minute. Before, just before that, though, I want to remind the audience again, we're talking to the folks from Oregon Action about legislation to end police profiling in Oregon. Ricardo Lujan's a board member. Michelle Glass is the lead organizer. And you can join the discussion at 800-838-3760 throughout our listening area, 800-838-3760, or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Check out pictures of our studio guests on our Facebook page as well. So when we talk about trying to make sure that we have accurate data, is there something in the... Well, actually, why don't we come back and talk about the bills themselves? There are several different bills here, I know. Just ultimately ended up with three House bills and a Senate bill.
Mm-hmm.
And as of the last time I looked yesterday, it looked like only House Bill 2002 seemed to be moving ahead. Can you tell us what's been going on there, Michelle?
Yeah, absolutely. And so we started with kind of a slate of legislation. We had three bills that did three mm-hmm. separate things. One bill defined profiling, and the definition we're working with is when a law enforcement officer stops, detains, any kind of interaction of that sort, someone based solely on something like housing status, gender orientation, gender identity, sexual orientation, race, ethnicity. And so as you'll notice, that's a pretty broad definition. We included some things that aren't always included. And so one defined it, one prohibited it. And then we had a third one that was aimed at kind of the accountability and enforcement piece. And that has been slightly amended through conversations with law enforcement themselves. And so what we ended up with was a combined bill that brings all three of those, the accountability piece, the clear definition, and the prohibition of profiling into House Bill 2002. And so now we have a really broad coalition that includes community groups representing GLBT folks, houseless community members, social justice groups like mm-hmm. ours, folks like the Urban League in Portland, and most recently, the Oregon Sheriff's Association and the Oregon Association of Chiefs of Police, all saying, this is a good thing. Let's get this done and pass this bill.
So it sounds like from what you're talking about, because you've got people of color, the homeless, LGBTQ people, essentially what it gets down to then is you're talking about the instances in which you have interactions with people are going to be based mm-hmm. on not who you are, but what you are doing. Is
Absolutely.
It just right down to that line?
That's the
exactly.
goal.
And that's one of the hugest problems up north. It's the, for instance, the homeless aspect of it. There's a lot of people that are homeless and that are being targeted by law enforcement. You know, it's come to the point that there's putting strict laws, you know. For instance, there's a lot of states that put strict laws to prohibit that kind of society. They'll put spikes on certain sidewalks.
The set light ordinances, that
sort
of thing?
Yeah, so that's something that we want to prevent as well. And one step forward towards that would be to define how to handle it on the law aspect, law enforcement aspect. So this would be definitely one step forward.
All right, so now back to what it is you want to count in terms of compiling data. Is it basically any interaction between a police officer and a member of the community would get counted and listed under what kind of person they were talking to? So ultimately you're talking about doing some counting in order to get away from doing racial profiling?
Ultimately, we're talking about moving beyond saying we don't profile to collecting data that would allow us to get a sense of what's happening on the ground. We don't believe that our law enforcement professionals are out there to get folks. We know that every day in Southern Oregon, hundreds of law enforcement professionals go to work dedicated to doing a professional job and protecting the community. But we also know that we can't address problems that may exist, that maybe there's a couple of bad apples, maybe there's some unconscious bias. We can't address any of those problems, and therefore we can't rebuild trust until we have a system in place that actually tracks stops and shows us, gives us all a shared understanding of what's really happening on the ground.
It seems like, at least based on radio traffic and stuff like that, that police do tend to report what they're doing at a certain time, but there's no end of the line collection of that data for some departments?
In most cases. Right.
It's not. Okay. But are there some departments that do, you know, list every stop?
I don't know of anyone that lists every contact. I think we've been, so our commitment at Oregon Action is to meet with every law enforcement agency in Jackson County as part of our commitment to mm-hmm. being present as the community as a partner in this work. And so far, you know, we've heard great things from each agency, and we've heard different things from each agency in terms of the software that they're using to track arrests and complaints, in terms of the policies that are in place. So even within a small, relatively small area like Jackson County, there's variation. And so you can imagine across the state what a big problem that would be.
Mm-hmm. Are there even differences in terminology when you're talking to the Jackson County Sheriff's Office, for example?
Do they
call certain things one set of terms, and then you find different terminology in the Medford Police and the Ashland Police and so forth?
Well, and that's one of the main problems that we're facing, is that the differences between how they defined profiling. There's not a set definition of profiling, and that's what this bill would do. Mm-hmm. Put it all across the board for every agency to abide to, so they won't be independently coming up with their own definitions of profiling. So yeah, every agency has their own way of saying things and what they mean.
And I think there are agencies locally that deserve a lot of credit for taking this on and trying to do what they can. And what we're saying to some of those leaders is, this is great, and we want there to kind of be a floor. We don't want any agency to not take this kind of responsibility like you are, but mm-hmm. we want there to be a common floor that everyone starts at. And then if some jurisdictions go beyond that, that's awesome. But we want there to at least be some clear standards in place for everyone.
Right. We'll take a couple minutes more here on the Jefferson Exchange to talk about bills to end police profiling in Oregon departments with Michelle Glass and Ricardo Lujan of Oregon Action. Join us at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Based on the original look, and you say there have been some combinations of the bills that were there. There are three House bills and a Senate bill. And it looked like at its beginning anyway that of the three House bills, that 2002, the one that is now the one still active, was probably the least toothy of them all, in that it essentially directs law enforcement agencies, this is the title of it, to adopt written policies and procedures prohibiting profiling by October 1st of 2015, which sounds like it puts a fair amount of control in the hands of the departments, the police agencies themselves.
So I have the combined House bill before me, and so I'll just briefly read the summary here. This bill will direct law enforcement agencies to adopt written policies and procedures prohibiting profiling by October 1, 2015, requires certain elements for policies and procedures, including receiving and investigating complaints, directs law enforcement agencies to provide copies of received profiling complaints to Law Enforcement Contacts Policy and Data Review Committee, which is that independent review board we were discussing. It authorizes that committee to receive those complaints. It directs the committee to forward copies of the complaints to appropriate law enforcement agencies and supervisors, and it directs the working group to prepare a report concerning profiling, including recommendations for further legislation to a committee of the Legislative Assembly. It declares an emergency and it's effective on passage. So
short timeline, though. I mean, we're still talking October 1st, 2015, to get the policies to implement their own. All right, so we talked about the fact that the legislation has a model in the New Mexico legislation. Ricardo, is there an off-the-shelf thing you can hand to police departments and say, here, this would be a good set of policies to adopt?
I'm not quite sure about that.
So in terms of the definition that we're asking law enforcement agencies to compile, yes, we do have that draft language. It is available. Mm-hmm. It was in one of the original bills that was being considered this legislative session. And like I said, law enforcement personnel and agencies and some of the larger associations that represent the law enforcement profession in Oregon have been at the table from, you know, throughout this process. And so none of this is going to come as a surprise. You know, we've been also talking with our local law enforcement leaders about this legislation. So I think it's happening at a state level. It's happening in communities. They have a really clear sense of what's coming down the discussion as it's changed throughout the legislative session. They've been a part of that. And so, you know, I'm not concerned about the deadline.
So, in fact, they could be implementing the policies now because again, the Association of Chiefs of Police and the Oregon Sheriff's Association both support the bill. Mm-hmm. Right here in front of me. Media release out April 22nd from John Bishop from the Sheriff's Association and Kevin Campbell from the Association of Chiefs of Police. So you got the folks in the law enforcement community behind you on this.
Which is, I think, wonderful, and I think a testament to the kinds of coalition partners that have been at the table and the commitment, the shared commitment to this is a shared responsibility. This isn't targeting of police, singling out of police. This is about how do we work together to restore those trust relationships so that our law enforcement professionals are safer, can do the job that they came, you know, that they signed up for, and so the community can feel safe and report when they need to.
Short final question from Jenny in Medford. Does the bill require tracking of police-related deaths and injuries? She was shocked to hear there's no federal-level tracking of even deaths at the hands of police. Wants to know if there's anything in this bill as currently constituted.
This bill isn't final language. I'm curious as well to see where we end up. I would be shocked if that wasn't part of it.
All right, we will see what the legislature does with House Bill 2002. It can be tracked online. I want to thank Michelle Glass, the lead organizer, and Ricardo Lujan, a board member from Oregon Action, for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.